Recorded Books presents Portrait of a Shadow by Maryam Mitui. Narrated by Ramiz Monsef. To Nidhi Pugalia, who found me wandering the wildwood and handed me a map. The only way to get rid of a temptation is to yield to it. Oscar Wilde, The Picture of Dorian Gray. The Beginning, 1891. There is a stillness in the air she cannot place, as if time has frozen and forgotten her. The sparrows that sing this early in the morning are muffled, like she is listening to them through water. When the sun lights the dark hardwood floor, the dust motes dance in place, basking in the rays for a little while longer than they have any right to. Delphine can see this, can hear the birdsong in ways she never could before. And suddenly, she knows she shouldn't be privy to this surreal, unexplainable moment, that maybe it isn't hers to take. When she tries to explain it to a friend later that night, she will fail to describe the stillness that surrounded her, will not come close to depicting the disconcerting sensation of being in her own skin. As quickly as it came, the moment passes. She returns to the canvas and, brush in hand, regards her finally dry and freshly framed self-portrait. Finished at last. The woman that glares back is mesmerizing in her intensity, her gaze piercing and relentless. Delphine knows that it is her best work to date. And yet, she finds that once complete, it looks more like her than herself. She cannot bear to look at it or part with it, and so the only way to escape it is to efface it from existence. Before she can hesitate, she dips the thick bristle brush into the can of white paint at her feet and, in wide sweeping strokes, disappears. She steps back to take in her work. The gold frame is newly brushed and polished, and in the morning light, it shines. Peculiar in its emptiness, the painting seems to take up more room than it should, more room than is possible. For a moment, she is convinced that there is nothing left in this space, that it is entirely made up of a white painting framed in gold. She shakes her head and sets her brush down. She is having a strange morning. All she needs is some fresh air, she is certain. And so, she leaves the confines of her studio and the painting that stands in the middle of it, its clean, careful strokes, barely intelligible as they dry, here, for the first time. All but a corner that begins to unfurl, the dark paint beneath, gleaming in the sun. Chapter 1, July 16th, 2024, 9:03 a.m. Inez is missing, and missing things can always be found. May knows this as fact, even if her parents and the police have all but given up. I can go. The words tumble out of her mouth faster than she can think them. Her mom stares at her for a second, trying to decide if she is serious. Let me call you back, she says to the phone at her ear. She turns to May. You don't have to do that, Habibti. You shouldn't have to, she says, switching to Arabic. She sets the phone down and goes back to wiping the kitchen counter. The black granite shines beneath her rag. I know, but it doesn't feel right to let a stranger do it. They're her things. She wouldn't want that. She tries not to sound too eager, tries not to give herself away, but May has spent months under the too close supervision of her overprotective parents, months hoping for an opportunity to go to the apartment, and finally, here is one for her to grab. She wouldn't pass it up. Inez's whole life is in that studio, and May is not about to let a donation company go through it like it's trash. Not when there's even the smallest chance that the police missed something. Her mother stops wiping for a second and stares at her. Maybe I can take off work next week and we can go together. May can see her mentally going through her week, trying to figure out what shift to request.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?